Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave Wansett is here.
Kyle Manunga, this is not run to the sideline play. This is down and dirty. Let me tell you about this play. I'm at Miami. We're playing Buffalo. It's a Sunday night ESPN game. I'm coaching the Dolphins.
Mike Patrick is doing play-by-play.
There we go.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Mike Patrick. It's great to have you with us.
We had a 4-point lead.
4 minutes left to go. 10-7 Miami.
And our quarterback, God bless him, Jay Feeder, throws the ball. It kind of goes off of DB's hand, so I do my typical deal. I've seen enough.
No one gets the ball except Ricky.
Bills defense has been on the field all night long, and they can expect a big dose to Ricky Williams right here.
We start pumping the ball to Ricky Williams.
Right back to the bread and butter. Lowers his head and pile drives his way down to the 37.
I think he had 8, 10, 12 carry. It was a 13-play drive, I think.
Williams off the left side behind Conrad, and Ricky Williams first down at the 29. Inside the 2. 41 carries. That is an all-time Miami Dolphin record.
And I call a timeout.
Third and goal. Will it be number 42 for Ricky Williams?
And we could kick the field goal and pretty much feel good about it. You know, they weren't going to score at that point on our defense. And Ricky comes over, and I could barely look at him, you know. He had no skin on either arm. It was just completely torn off from the base. I swear now, from the baseball.
Ricky Williams, they're not going to clean that uniform. They're going to burn it.
And I looked at him. I said, Rick, and he says, we going for it. That's what he said. And then I says, you want to go for it? And he says, I'll go for it, coach. And I says, you know what, Rick? You call the play. And we called this play. Scissors.
If he gets in the end zone, you're going to hear a roar out of this place like you've never heard in Pro Player Stadium.
Where he was going one way and he was coming back. And he says, run 35 scissors, coach. And I said, Rick, let me tell you something. We are on the 4-yard line and they have an all-pro safety over there, Malloy.
Malloy. Done.
He's not going to go for the fake on the 4-yard line. So when you wind this thing back, we're not blocking him. He's going to be standing at the line of scrimmage waiting on you. And he says, coach, run 35 scissors.
You think Dave wants that son into this game? Holy mackerel, go Ricky, go!
Will it be number 42 for Ricky Williams?
And we run it, and he brings it back. Oh, God, it was poetry.
It will.
Malloy's standing on the goal line. Everybody else is blocked. And Ricky's coming back, and Malloy's standing there. And obviously, you know, Ricky puts it down and goes into the end zone. Touchdown.
Touchdown! 42 carries, 153 yards. For Ricky Williams.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. I love telling those stories because it was downhill. There was nothing fancy about this play. Take 2 steps to the right, and you're coming back to the left, and there's a guy that's an all-pro player waiting on you. What are you going to do? He said, run 35 scissors, coach. I said, you got it.
I think if Ricky Williams didn't have a helmet on, Dave Wonstadt would have kissed him.
Man, that's good. That is Dave Wonstadt telling a story from last week on Spiegel and Holmes. And then Chris Tannehill cut the open for the next day. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Coach, you're in, baby. Thanks for joining us. We just wanted to play that because it only played once on Friday. I wanted everybody to hear it. I want to make sure you heard it, too.
Yeah, you know what? That's the first I heard the thing. I'm going to get a copy of that. I may listen. That may be my wake-up call every morning, you know?
That was great. Hey, I was captivated.
who we got, Dave on there, and Lawrence is off, and Spiggs is in. That's great. Fantastic.
Yeah, no, you know, whenever Lawrence is taking off time, you know, I'm always here when he's a snowbird. You know, he wants to go to Arizona, yeah, and things like that.
And so, Gabe, would you say you and Wani are always in touch about?
You know, I'm trying to get Wani written into Chicago PD. You know what I mean?
Where's Lawrence?
Exactly.
Where's Lawrence?
Well, stay on that, Gabe, okay? I'm glad you brought that up.
I'll try to be like Ricky Williams, and I'm trying to call the play just like he did.
Oh, man, that's just the best. Coach, we're thankful for you that we get to hang out with you and have you tell stories like that. And then Tanny went and found the game, and I got that little video snippet of you celebrating with Ricky after the touchdown. It is pure joy, Coach.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was this 40-second carry in the game. Oh, my goodness, you know. But no, and you know what's funny about running backs? And I would bet a dollar that if you talk to Kyle Monange or you talk to DeAndre Swift, because when I first made the trade for Ricky, we had, at the same year, Thurman Thomas was released by Buffalo. So he was a free agent. And we had signed Thurman before we made the trade for Ricky. And so now, and Thurman was at the end of his career, you know, don't get me wrong, but we were going to use Thurman Thomas as a third down back because he would pick up blitzes, he would block, and he could catch like crazy, as everybody knows from all his days at Buffalo. Well, so that's how we start the season. Now we got Ricky. Ricky's first and second down, and Thurman Thomas is coming in third down. Well, about 3 weeks into the season, all of a sudden there's, you know, Ricky's in my office. And coach, I don't like this. And I said, what, you don't like what? You're learning the offense on and on and on. And he says, I need the rock, coach. I need the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is that, you know, that you want the ball. You're talking to the wrong guy. But it's amazing. The great backs that I've been around, the Emmitt Smiths, you know, obviously I played with Tony Dorsett. LeSean McCoy's. I might have been around some pretty good backs. And these guys all want the ball, and they all seem to kind of get going the more carries that they get as the game goes on.
Well, as a team stat, I have long looked at rushing yards per game by this point in a season and been like, man, I wish we had the Niners offense, or I wish we had the Ravens offense in previous years. Now I look up, the Bills are the best running team in the NFL. The Lions are third, the Colts are fourth, but the Bears are second. Those top four teams, man, those are damn good teams in the NFL. It is amazing to see the Bears there, and we see the importance of it more than ever before. You've been right all along, Coach. That's what I'm trying to say. You've been right all along, Dave Wanstead.
Yeah, no, and I've also said along with that, that sometimes, you know, it's not the number of yards that you get, but it's the number of carries. And let me give you a stat, you know, because if you're running a football, you're obviously going to use the clock. Obviously your defense is going to be rested and you're not going backwards. Okay. That's just, everybody's wondering, you know, no one talks about the special teams. And I heard, we made the Steelers, they were starting at the minus 25, you know, and they had a, on our 25 and our 20. Well, you know why? You know what sacks do? If you are getting sacked, you are losing 8, 10, 12 yards, 8, 10 yards. And now all of a sudden you're going up and you're throwing the ball to make up ground. And so now let's just say you throw a couple incompletions. You know, you may know yards, if you can follow me on this, and you gave up another 10. That could be 20, 25, 30 yards in field position that when you punt the ball that you lost as a team. Well, this year, guess what? We are gaining that. So now, so by not having sacks, we are, yes, you're going to score more points, but you are also, it's called the hidden yardage, and that's special teams. The hidden yardage is that stuff that nobody talks about. That I'm referring to by not giving up sacks and running the ball and moving the chains, you're gaining without. It's a statistic that it really is very important to the outcome of the game, but no one ever talks about that on TV or radio.
And Caleb Williams is going to have to, you know, obviously continue on that streak of not getting sacked. He's 24th in the league right now. Jalen Hurts, 7th most sacks out of all quarterbacks in the league, coach. But you said recently about the Bears offensive line that it's the most improved position on the group, right? So against the front, like the Eagles, we know the names that are there. They love to get after the quarterback. But what does the O-line have to do to keep Caleb clean on this short leak against this short week against this Philadelphia Eagles defense?
Well, you know what, Gabe? It's the plays that Ben's calling. The ball was coming out quick, you know, from the standpoint that their play action. We're doing a lot of stuff under center, which even makes it more timing. 1-2-3 balls out. So the play calling, I think, is contributing that, you know, and then the other thing too. I think that. You know, the challenge for our offensive line this week is if we can handle these guys with four, then you're going to force their defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, to bring extra guys to pressure. And when they start bringing extra guys to pressure, now the big advantage goes to our receivers because now they have to cover us one-on-one, and they've got a couple guys hurt. I mean, they're hurting. I mean, you talk about an offensive line now. I mean, you know, Lane Johnson's not going to play. They're all-pro left tackle. I don't know where their center is. I know he's hurt, whether he's going to play. So they've got their share of injuries in the secondary, all across the board, you know, all across the board at this point. So, yeah, it's all part of the game. You just have to take advantage of it.
What does Vic Fangio do so well, so consistently, to make people respect him the way they do around the NFL?
Going back to when Vic and I really started studying him when he was with Jim Harbaugh at the 49ers. And you're going back 10, 12 years ago, and they were one of the top defenses in the league. And so, you know, in the offseason, I would always study the best of the best just to see, you know, what they were doing. And was there anything new or anything that we could, you know, use that they're doing or incorporate? And the one thing, and the reason that I was kind of a fan of Vic's is because he was never a blitz guy. He was never a blitz guy. He would bring five and play some man, okay? But he was, you know how many times they blitzed in the Super Bowl?
No.
Zero.
That's right.
In the last Super Bowl, they did not blitz one time. And I'll tell you what, they pressured. They had the, you know, quarterback was running for his life every snap. So my point is that I think that if you let Vic get pressure on you with four, he's going to do it all day long. And I think that's the challenge of the Bears that they got to be able to, once they hold up and then he brings linebackers and brings safeties and extra people. Now the big advantage goes to the Bears.
Yeah, and the Bears got to protect the football, right? That's the job of Caleb Williams this week. He's done a good job, obviously, throughout the season, but Jalen Hurts, even better, right? 17 touchdowns on the year, just one interception. I know turnovers is your thing, Wani. So when, you know, the Bears obviously 7-0 when they get multiple takeaways. But if you're in that defensive meeting room and you're talking to your guys and you're looking at Jalen Hurts, obviously we know what he can do with his legs, but he's not a guy that's going to put the ball in harm's way. How do you try to affect him enough to disrupt his processy during this game?
Well, I think that he's going to run the ball a little bit more this game than what he has. I don't know how many times he's carrying the ball per game, but I remember when three years ago, first Super Bowl, he was averaging a close to 8 to 10 carries a game. I don't think he's doing that now. I don't see him running as much. I know he's older. They're trying to protect him, I guess. So I would think that, you know, the more times that you carry it, you know, the more opportunities the Bears have to create fumbles. So, you know, if you're getting rid of the ball quick and not holding on to it, it's tough to create fumbles and turnovers. So I do think this will be a week, though, that they come out and they, you know, that they run Jalen Hurts a little bit more and play a little bit of keep away. You know, I don't think they want our we're averaging what 30 points a game, I think, somewhere in that neighborhood, and they don't want to, you know, they're not a shootout type team. That's not their MO. So I think that in the back of their minds, they want to play a little keep away this week.
7.3 attempts per game this year for Jalen Hurts. Last year, 10. Year before that, 9. Yeah. Year before that, 11. Year before that, 9. So they are down. They are down by a decent amount. Devontae Smith missed practice again. He's got a couple different injuries, and today they added illness to his designation. So that's a third straight missed practice. I would assume he doesn't play on Friday, but we'll have to see. The news is, and it's not official yet, but C.J. Gardner-Johnson said it, Jalen Johnson is back. So Jalen Johnson's going to suit up and play on Friday, Coach. And, you know, we'll have to see if Tyreek plays, but probably Nashawn Wright at the other corner. But what does it mean for Dennis Allen to get a guy like Jalen back? And we'll see if Kyler joins him as well. With having no linebackers, or having the backup linebackers, I should say, those guys did a very nice job. It's an opportunity for some creativity, I guess, for Dennis.
Yeah, and it's probably a good week because it looks like, I mean, the way I'm reading it and hearing, I wouldn't expect Stevenson to play this week.
Mm-hmm.
So if Stevenson doesn't play, obviously there's now it fits with Jalen. And you know, the big thing is when these guys come back from the injuries, you just hope that they're just not over anxious to get back on the field, that they are 100% ready. Football wise, he's missed a lot of time, you can be in good shape conditioning wise and strength wise, but you also have to be in football shape. And you hear people talk about that all the time, that our team isn't in football shape because we didn't play the guys in the preseason and they're soft and we're not tackling good and we're not getting our hands on people, you know, as a corner and being physical. So, you know, it's been a while since Jalen. I just hope that that he can close that gap real quick and obviously be ready to go from a football shape standpoint, not conditioning. He'll be in good condition.
Yeah, and they're going to need him if they want to win this game, right? It's a big one, Coach. It's been a while since the Bears have had this kind of, you know, national measuring stick spotlight where they can really take a look at what this team is. But in your mind, you know, when you're trying to build a program like the Bears are, right, building the culture, how much can a game like this – I know people say, oh, it's just a game in front of you. I hear a lot of players saying that, a lot of coaches – but from a fan base, right, myself included, like you look at this game and you think, man, this really is the measuring stick of measuring sticks. So how much can this game really accelerate the belief in the building, you know, win or lose?
Well, I think it does for the fans and the media and the players too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not – and the coaches. I mean, it would be exciting for them to say they beat the Super Bowl defending champ. But it's on to the next week real quick. And – so beating Philadelphia, it's a great NFC win. And yeah, I mean, anytime you're beating the best, the champions, it feels extra good. It feels extra good. You know, at the end of the season, it counts as one win. But from a fan's perspective and a media perspective, it means a lot that way. So it's all good. It's all good.
Coach, if you had to play in a turkey bowl tomorrow.
I love this question already.
if it's like before Thanksgiving and you're at
you're like the official quarterback, you know?
Yeah. Would you be the automatic quarterback where they can't come back and touch you? Could you call some plays? What could you do if you had to play tomorrow?
Oh, wow. At this point, no, you know, I mean, I think I'd probably be not the quarterback. I mean, I better have guys on my team that can throw better than me. Let me just say that. Okay.
Okay.
If I'm gonna be part in it, I'm gonna try to win the game. Okay. So, I would be involved a little bit in the play calling, but I would also be like a tight end. I mean, that's a position I can catch the ball really good. I wouldn't be able to get away from many people, but if you needed a first down or down near the goal line,
yeah, red zone,
I'd be a pretty good bet to throw the ball to.
Little walk 5 yards, little curl route, little turn around and be there for him. I got you, Coach. I got you.
Oh yeah, nice big target. Knows what he's doing. Throw your butt into a defender if you need to.
Sounds about right, Coach. I got another one for you. Are you the turkey guy? Are you the one making the turkey in your house for Thanksgiving?
I have for years, but now my daughter's kind of picked the torch up a little bit, and I've got two daughters and obviously the grandkids here in Chicago, so I let them I cut it. Once we get it, whoever cooks it, they between them and Jan, then I'll do the carving of it, though. I'm definitely the carver.
The tight end and the carver.
For sure.
I like it.
The tight end and the carver. That is Dave Wanstead. And that is a level of power and prestige that you've earned. You just show up and you carve the turkey. I like it, Coach.
Oh, yeah. No, they ask. I mean, they don't even ask. They know. I mean, it's part of the deal, you know?
All right. Coach, happy Thanksgiving. You're the best. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
All right, good talking to you guys. Yeah. Be safe.
Thank you.
Same to you all. Everybody there.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Could you imagine Dave Wanstead running a route and you not throwing him the ball?
No, you throw him that ball. Plus, Coach is big. Was he 6'5"?
He's a big dude.
He's still a big dude.
He'll box some teenagers out, you know, that are guarding him.
Yeah, oh, my
turkey
God.
Ball.
Hell yeah.
Ball.
And he'll freaking lean on them. Yeah. I have a turkey bowl-related question, but it connects to the Philadelphia Eagles. Hmm. Who the Bears are playing, and I bet you can put two and two together. We'll do that next, coming up here on 670 The Score.
Where's Lawrence?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
It is on like radon charm.
With a fleet of super bad to status radon charm.
Afternoons on The Score.
Yeah, without a doubt. We definitely seen 83 be the one to run a tush push, and we tried to get a stop on it. We got the one stop on it, and then they ran the trick play off the other one. Kudos to them. And that was the biggest run play of the day and kind of skewed the rushing. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the bread and potatoes, the tush push, not too many stop it, and we did.
I love it.
That is Grady Jarrett.
He's thinking about Thanksgiving, Speaks. That's what it is.
Last week, talking about number 83, that's Cam Hayward, who ran the tush push for them, the Steelers. And he mentions the Kenneth Gainwell play where he got 55 yards on the little end around off the tush push. But in the end, he's proud that they stopped the tush push itself, which he, of course, referred to as the bread and potatoes.
The bread and potatoes, the tush push.
So the bread and potatoes of what they do, the Steelers on that play, is the tush push. Of course, he means the meat and potatoes, which is a much healthier meal, frankly. It's a much more balanced kind of meal. The bread and potatoes sounds like that's some defensive lineman meals.
The bread and potatoes, the tush push.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like some struggle meals, you know, where you just got some boiled potatoes and some like pieces of bread.
All I got is wheat bread. And
I got a potato sandwich.
it's like the old.
It's great.
It's the old Blues Brothers. You ever have a wish sandwich? You got two pieces of bread, and you wish you had something to put in between them. Huh? Exactly. A wish sandwich.
Potatoes.
But yeah, it's the meat and potatoes. It is the tush push. You think you've faced a tush push with the Steelers, or with what some of these other teams do? Nobody runs it like the Eagles.
Nobody. And they have the variations of it, right? Because now, then over the last couple of seasons, they've introduced these new wrinkles into the tush bush. And so where initially you thought, well, I just got to put all my guys there and be stronger than you. It's like, no, I got to do that and watch out for the guy sneaking out like Kenneth Gainwell did on Sunday.
A couple weekends ago, the Ravens ran it and Mark Andrews got a touchdown to seal the deal in their game, you know? So yeah, the Ravens did it. The Steelers just got 55 and almost got a touchdown right there. So you got to be ready. But just the way the Eagles run the basics of it, a big part of it is Jalen Hurts being able to leg press as much weight as he does.
Pushes the tush.
Yeah, so
the one that pushes the tush. That's great. I never heard that.
The tushy pushy.
That was Tony Saquon Barkley, by the way.
Was it? Yeah, Tony Romo a couple weeks ago was referring to the tushy pushy as well.
Pushy tushy.
There, with the pushy tushy. Excuse me.
I don't mind it at the goal line. It's when it's, you know, third and two, and they're like, okay, we know we're going to do this twice. And then to do it back to back. That's the one that's kind of like, it's like when you play Street Fighter, and if you're playing against someone and do the same move over and over and over again, you're like, dude, come on.
I get you.
Do something else.
I get you. Well, stop it, though.
And they say, stop it. Yeah, that's what happens.
Right, but you can't, in some of those video games, you can't. It's a glitch, right?
And that's what it is in the NFL as well. It's a glitch.
It shouldn't be
for
a glitch.
Eagles.
For no other team, it is. Huh? That's your lesson, though, isn't it? It's not a glitch for Josh Allen and the Bills. Like, they can't run it that way every time. But here's my real question.
Okay.
If you out there, score listener, are playing a turkey bowl tomorrow where you are going to play football with whoever happens to be around at the house, in the neighborhood on Thanksgiving, hell, maybe you're looking forward to it. Maybe you're playing today. Maybe you're playing on Friday. I don't know. It happens all over the neighborhoods, all over America. Are you going to run the tush push? You're going to run the tush push in your turkey bowl in your neighborhood. Have you added it to the play calling arsenal? And would you do so this week if you have not just yet?
Could you imagine your cousin just yelling out? All right, guys. Bread and potatoes on three. Okay.
The bread and potatoes are tush push.
The bread and potatoes on three.
That's you imagine great. Seeing your cousin and your uncle and Dave Wanstead.
What are you guys doing? No. We said injury free turkey bowl.
Yeah.
What are you guys lining up for right now?
I mean, the level of carnage that would take place with a tush push in the turkey bowl.
Two ACL tears. Six MCL sprains.
Oh my God. All of it. Ankles getting
13
snapped.
Black eyes.
Yeah. 13 black guys? Come on, Gabe. Oh, black eyes, you said. I'm sorry, man. Come on.
All of that depends on who's your family.
You know, right, you never know.
Yeah, you got a mixed family. You never know.
You absolutely never know. Alex, you going to run it? You going to run it in the turkey bowl tomorrow?
You know, I think so, actually, because and I'm envisioning this because my nephew turned one today. Happy birthday, Myers. And I just imagine.
Happy birthday, Mike.
That myself, my younger brother, who was former offensive lineman, just like diving at the knees of the defenders and having my one-year-old nephew just jumping over the top with the ball. He's just walking now.
Alex,
so.
what is the one-year-old doing in the football game?
You got to get him involved, you know?
Well, if you're going to get him involved,
young.
I think one is too small. I think one is too small.
Kid can't even walk yet.
Gabe, you brought it up. What, like a 7-year-old or like an 8-year-old?
Yeah, give like the little nephew or niece the ball, and then the grown men just kind of like crowd around him. And then, like, you know, like shimmy all the way down the field, but just like blocking everybody else out of the circle.
So I think that's brilliant.
Bread and potatoes on three.
Bread and potatoes are tush-push.
So if you're lining up and you got a 7 or 8 year old there at quarterback, just give him the ball, and then you guys rally around, you lift him up, hoist him up. Because if you leave him at his normal height, then it's like the head is going to get
gonna
damaged.
Be too harsh.
You can't have that. So you raise it up, and then you rally around him and you push the tush with him raised up high.
How are you going to two hand touch that kid? It's going to be a little difficult, is what I'm saying. I don't know. Just give him his glory moment.
Texture says, you didn't even need to finish the question. And my answer is no.
No.
And are you going to run the tush push? No.
Brave souls that go out there on turkey bowl day.
Dude, I've been playing pig on the Nerf hoop in my son's room.
Oh, okay.
You know, we've been today, me and Christine.
Is he dunking on you?
But it's pig. So he's dunking. He's trying to do these like fancy moves, but they're nothing special. I have touch from deep, you know? He doesn't have touch yet. He's got to work on it. No, he's not there
yet.
He's
hitting nothing. He's hitting the wall.
Essentially,
I know what you're talking about.
He's throwing it off the wall. He's trying to do fancy stuff. Okay. He's jumping into the beanbag and like he's trying to score as he jumps into the beanbag. Yeah. He's trying to do athletic stuff to push his father, who I'm not in my athletic prime.
No,
you may not realize this.
I've
looking
never
at
guessed.
You guys might not know this, but I'm worried I'm going to blow out my ACL playing pig in the bedroom. I am not getting out there for
that'd
the
be a
turkey
great story.
Bowl.
Oh, dude, ACL, workout, getting it in, basketball 5 days a week. Nah. Pig in my son's closet door.
he was asking me to stand on the bed and then do a flying dunk.
But you're doing
on
your
Nerf hoop.
Spiegs, you're doing your dad diligence by, you know, leveraging the biggest skill you have, which is touch. You know what I mean? That is the key. That's what dad should do. It's like, this little kid can't do that. My dad, he's a lefty, and he always would do left-handed layups, you know, when I was a kid.
Yes.
And he'd be like, oh, I don't care if I'm lefty. You got to do it with the left hand.
This is it. Oh, yeah, that ain't right.
That's what you do.
That
you
ain't
gotta,
right.
You got to be a good dad. You're a good dad.
Yeah.
You're a good dad.
Well,
my
dad's left-handed, too. Let's go, Gabe.
Yeah, see?
So, but, you know, I'm trying in all these different ways, but it's really, I just gotta make a bucket. Yeah. He can't make the bucket. No. You know,
the good thing Ruben's not going to see you on the turkey bowl field.
I think so.
He might take out some anger on you.
Yeah, no, it's not a good look.
Bread and potatoes, all three, and then it just be
the bread and potatoes are tush push.
Texter says, I think Grady meant to say their bread and butter play. Now that's
okay.
So he just got bread and butter and meat and potatoes mixed up. Right?
That's it. We've all done that, where you mix up the bread and the butter and the meat and the potatoes.
At least he didn't say the butter and meat.
Yeah, but put it all together. Go ahead, have a meat and potatoes sandwich with some bread and some butter.
Hell of a Thanksgiving.
I was going to say, though, if you plan on running the Tush Push this year in the Turkey Bowl, might as well get it out of the way before the Packers try to ban it on Thanksgiving, too.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Man, try to ban it in your neighborhood before they can actually get it banned in the NFL.
Don't let them take it out of the Turkey Bowl.
God, Baby T is here for any anti-Packers slander.
I've been hearing that this week. You know, so that's good. I'm glad. I'm here for it, too.
Mm-hmm. This texture says, I'm going to go to neighborhood parks hoping to get picked up by someone needing a player.
You just hold the ball and toss it in the air, you know, and just kind of stare at them. But you're not part of the family, so it's weird.
That's sad. Can you do that for a turkey bowl? I guess you can. That's sad.
Is there like a free agent website for turkey bowls around the area?
Nah, if you pull up looking half athletic, you're gonna get in the game.
Oh, yeah. Hey, what's going on? Hey, what are you guys doing? Yeah, no, like, I'm just hanging out.
QB. What position you play? QB. I got you guys.
You should do that.
And then in the first play of the game, you're like, bread and potatoes on three.
Eli Manning should do that. Or Glenn, what's his name? The actor, Glenn Powell.
Okay.
What's the movie?
Chad Powers.
Yeah, Chad Powers. And do it that way.
Are we going to see the Tush Push on Friday against the Bears?
Of course we will.
Yeah.
Of course we will. And so how do you stop that? You know, I mean, the best way to stop it is to have a linebacker who's just unafraid and just like diving in there, putting his head and his torso in harm's way. Right, Alex? I mean, this is how you stop the Tush Push.
You get into long yardage situations. Because
I was going to say.
Into short yardage situations, you are screwed.
I was going to say, keep him third long, but that's going to be tough. Saquon Barkley is not just going to, you know. It's gonna be no. Very few TFLs right there.
The tush.
Yeah, exactly. So that is very smart. That is some Ben Johnson ish right there. We'd like to stay out of those circumstances so they can't run that play.
Is there an offensive weapon that you're most fearful of when it comes to this Philadelphia Eagles team?
I mean,
or is it simply just Jalen?
It's Jalen in the red zone. It's fascinating. I was looking at their stats, like. They're not good offensively or defensively, really, in terms of leading the league and stuff, but they're both sides really good in the red zone. They finish on offense and get touchdowns in the red zone. And in the red zone on defense, I think they're third best in that. So they will stop you. They will hunker down and stop you.
Yeah, they're only giving up about 20 points a game. I think they're top seven in that category, specifically. Yards per game, definitely a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's why they're the defending champs, right? Because they do things well on both sides of the ball. But you know, keeping them in short and third and long is going to be tough. But it's something that the Bears got to do if they don't want to see the pushy tushy.
Yeah, man. If you're doing the Turkey Bowl tomorrow, just misdirection. You know, that's the thing. Just like whether it's the inside reverse, like I used to run with the Mighty Sequoias when we're playing flag football back in college. And since then, Olin Krutz and Matt Bowen both have told me like what it is. It's just like it's an old Pop Warner play. And they both run it with their high schools all the time. This play that we ran back in college. But it's just like where you fake the pitch one way, but you actually hand the ball off to the slot man going the other direction. You know, your Uncle Biff falls for misdirection 10 times out of 10.
It's a tricky thing, and that's why they win games because of it. Misdirections. Ugh, I just can't wait to this game. I got to be honest. I know we're talking about it, and I'm there already.
You are?
I'm there. I'm Friday, 2 o'clock. Finish my morning show here at the Score. with Judson Richardson, and I'm ready to go.
You and Judson Richards doing the morning show. Yeah. Sorry. But yeah, you guys are both doing the morning show on Friday. You're feeling
I'm there already.
You're ready to go.
I'm there. But I'm glad that we got more hours to go.
You going
to
play Turkey Bowl?
Hell no.
When's the last time you played football? You went out and got there, even just two-hand touch, or just had a catch? Have you had a catch recently?
No, listen. If you were to pull up a Lane Tech yearbook and see me playing the football team, playing on that football team, you know, you can look up some stats that I might have had.
Oh, really?
But in terms of a Turkey Bowl, man, I don't like to get tackled because I'll just play tackle Turkey Bowl. I don't like to get tackled.
I'll tell you where I like to play football is in a swimming pool at my brother-in-law's house.
It's a little dangerous.
Where we're going tomorrow. Yeah, but just like playing Moss, essentially trying to teach my son Guagi. You know, and the brother-in-law has a great arm. So like fending off your son in the pool while trying to make a catch, that's a summer activity right there.
You guys heard of Guagi? Go up and get it, guys.
Damn right. Show it all. We're using everything. We're using the bread, the potatoes, the Guagi, the tush push.
The bread and potatoes, the tush push.
All of it. Bread and potatoes, says the texture, is just another name for a veggie tush push. Yeah, it's a That's vegan great. Tush push. I like it. 670 The Score is where you are. It's Spiegs and Gabe Ramirez right here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We'll come back and figure out who's playing left tackle. Who's playing? Do we know? Ben talked about it. We'll try and dissect Ben before we get to Olin Kreutz at the top of the hour on The Score.
The bread and potatoes, the tush push.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Jim Ozarski covers the Bucks for the Journal Sentinel. He is the South Suburbs champion.
First of all, thanks for having me. I always enjoy being on with you, Lawrence. King of Evergreen Park. Appreciate that. Look, Matt.
Afternoons on The Score.
Consistency. You know, he didn't miss a beat there. Communication was really good between him and Joe. I think he did a nice job whenever he had help on his side of being slow to drag out. And so he was helping out, being firm to the inside while allowing the guys outside of him to do their jobs. And so just a full understanding of the game plan and what we're trying to get done. And, it's a great start for him to build on.
That's Ben Johnson talking about the rookie tackle. Ozzie Trapillo played pretty well last week, Gabe.
The fact that nobody said his name and he was getting beat on the defensive side of the ball speaks wonders to his development. Obviously, at the beginning of the season, people were unsure what he was going to be. Left tackle, right tackle, backup, swing tackle, a healthy scratch at the beginning of the season. And now all of a sudden you come in to spell Theo Benedict and play a hell of a game. Kudos to the staff for coaching someone up. Wow, what a concept.
I totally agree. I will say I still think we're not sure what he's going to be, but it looks like maybe he could at least be a swing tackle, be a backup and a swing tackle, which is not what you want out of a second round pick, but it's better than nothing, which is what it looked like for a
little
while.
You mean a serviceable tackle? I'll take that every day of the week. When you think about the depth of the Bears and what it has been over the last couple of seasons, to have someone like Ozzie Trapillo, regardless if he's a second round pick or not, I mean, that's how your offensive line is built, right? Having somebody there in the event something happens so that way you don't have a drop-off.
I think it's pretty clear that they like Theo Benedict a lot better in the running game, especially because he's meaner, he's nasty, and he's physical. And what they've done as a team running the ball has been a big, big help to the offense. So is Theo going to play? Theo was a full participant today on the injury report, so that was good to see. Today, really the only day of full practice that they're going to have this week. So that's very positive. But listen to Ben Johnson. This is from today, Alex. It's from this morning. This is Ben Johnson talking about Theo Benedet and the left tackle position for Friday.
If Theo's healthy, is he your starting left tackle?
We will see.
With Ozzy, did he show enough to prompt you to at least to take a look at?
Ozzy did a great job last week. Yeah, he did a great job last week, and he was a big, big reason why we were able to win that game.
How do you account for that? He was obviously uncomfortable during the summer of trying to get settled on the left side. He has moved him over to right, and then he gets the development through the course of months and plays pretty well on the left side. What did you see there?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what it was over probably like the last 4 weeks or so, but it's almost like things have slowed down for him. And I feel it around the building, not even on the practice field as much. I feel it in the building with him where there's a little less, you know, stepping on eggshells, and it's like he's coming out of his shell a little bit, and he's not a rookie anymore as far as I'm concerned. It kind of feels that way just being around him personality-wise. And when that opens up, I think your play, you just kind of cut it loose and you play ball. And so I felt that from him, and I don't know why that is the case or anything like that, but he's been, I'm not saying a different guy, but it's like, okay, he knows he belongs. He knows he belongs. I think he's got confidence, and doesn't really matter right side or left side. I think he knows he can be a very productive player at this level.
Well, that is fascinating. The look on Alex Kuhn's face as I heard that for the first time, and Alex shot me the look. He's like, yeah, I know. Didn't you hear that? Because here's the thing. We got a coach who's like often very transparent and tells you real stuff. And when he doesn't, you just got to kind of pay attention. But he gets a little glimmer in his eye. You remember when he was asked if Nashawn Wright was going to stay a starter when Tyreek Stevenson and Jalen come back healthy? And I don't know if you remember watching that, but he smiled. And he's like, that's the fun part, isn't it? And he smiled like a knowing smile. That's what it sounded like he was doing again right there in that cut. Like, is Theo going to start? If he's like, well, we'll see. That sounds to me like Ozzie may have won that job. That's fascinating, or at least he wants it to come off that way. He's cool with it coming off that way. But it sounds to me like maybe he's won that job because he's a transparent guy who's not telling you there. He's not verbally saying the full answer because he doesn't really want to.
It's interesting to hear Ben Johnson glow about his guys, right? Because when you're talking about Nashawn Wright, Tyreek Stevenson's not his guy, right? And Nashawn Wright is the first guy that comes here with the Dennis Allen defense. When you're talking about Ozzie Tripillo, Theo Benedet, for that matter, right? The undrafted free agent, Braxton Jones is not his guy. But Theo Benedet, I like Theo. I like the way he plays. Ozzie Tripillo, that's his draft pick. Oh, yeah, these are my guys.
Yeah.
You know, without saying that, he's saying that. And I think that's the takeaway for me when you're listening to these clips, is that Ben Johnson is going to continue to leave his handprint on this team, and he likes what he's done so far.
He likes what he's done coaching these guys up, and when he sees it click, like the way he described that, where Ozzie's like, I don't know, he's just thinking less. He's just comfortable playing.
He's not a rookie anymore.
Left side or right. Like, he's not there. And credit to Ben for developing him and for putting him out there as like the sixth offensive lineman in the jumbo package right, a bunch of times, and having Ozzie be like, oh yeah, I know how to play in this league. It's just football. I get it. Listen to Ben the other day. This is what I was referencing when he's asked if Nashawn Wright is going to be the guy when Tyreek and Jalen come back.
Ben, you mentioned Shawnee. You know, he's tied for league-leading interceptions. You have two corners who may come back as soon as this week, probably, maybe. How do you guys weigh his role going forward?
Yeah, that's the fun part, isn't it? No, he's done a phenomenal job.
That's all right. We can get out
he's
there.
Sick. He's a sick man, and I love it.
That's it. Like, that's
he
the fun part.
He is disturbed, and I love it.
Good job,
boys. I hear
boys.
Ben Johnson do that.
Right? I mean, I love that. And he's smiling. He's like, I'm not telling you. I know. Wouldn't you like to know?
My team's good, isn't it?
We got options, don't we? Yeah, that's so the fun part. That's right. You can't bench Nashawn Wright. And Alex, didn't that Ozzie answer sound kind of like that in terms of the vibe?
Well, yeah, especially since Theo is a full participant in practice. At first I thought, oh, when I heard that cut, I thought, well, he was responding to, is Theo your starting left tackle? And maybe at the end, like, didn't catch the if healthy part, but he's healthy.
Yeah,
he's practicing, and he's like, oh, we'll see. And then says very glowing things about Ozzie. That seems to be a tell.
I think it depends on, you know, the game plan for the Chicago Bears, right? And I think who's playing left tackle will dictate that, right? If he thinks in order to beat the Philadelphia Eagles, I need to be in pass pro. Well, you're going to see some Ozzie Chipilla, right? 41 pass pro snaps, only one pressure, no sacks, zero quarterback hits. And if you're thinking about, you know, running the ball, then of course that's where you're going to want Theo Benedict, who has been, some people have him as a third among all NFL offensive tackles in run block win rate.
Really? Who had that? Is that a PFF?
This is actually the four letter.
That's group, okay.
People, you can say ESPN.
So Espenhazem as the third best. Left tackle in
third
terms
among
of
all NFL offensive tackles in run block win rate.
All tackles. Wow. Yeah, see, that's a big deal.
So it depends on what you're doing. What you're doing schematically against the team.
Yeah, and kind of what you want to think about. You want Ozzie to get, if not all the way to that level, but Ozzie is more built to protect the pass in terms of the length of his arm and his size and his reach. So that's pretty fascinating. That's good stuff. Let's ask Olin Kreutz, shall we? Look how that, look we did that. It lit you behind the curtain. We were having a show meeting earlier. And Gabe Ramirez said, well, if we switch the left tackle thing to 345, then we can lead right into Olin Kreutz with that. And I was
radio.
Like, oh, look at the
radio
big genius. Brain radio. On Brad. Look at that.
You guys want to look at my resume? Executive produced a lot of shows in my day.
You
know,
You have. In fact, I want to ask you about that a little bit later on. But yes. So Speaks and Gabe Ramirez, welcome Olin Kreutz next on The Score.
Yeah, that's the fun part, isn't it?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.